Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Shannon Morse is here, and because of her, today we'll know how to switch from iOS to Android. Hey, welcome to Know How. I'm Aya Zaktar, and this is Twitch. This is computer hardware. I'm all twitchy today because I've had a little bit far too much caffeine, but I am still Aya Zaktar, and this is Know How. Today, Shannon Morse, our producer, is here because the project we're going to show you, because this is a project-based show, is how to switch from iOS to Android, because you have a Nexus 4 sitting around, and you're what can I do with this thing?
So I have my regular iPhone 5, and I've been trying and meaning to get over to my Nexus 4. I have my work phone, and I really want to use it every day, but it's such a pain in the behind to actually port everything over. How do you do that?
Well, it's actually not as hard as it used to be. I actually use both operating systems all the time, and I know right now you've got a Samsung Mega sitting around. So right now, if you're paying attention to the tech world, mobile phones are changing a lot. So there's all kinds of different devices out there. If you want to switch from iOS to Android, or if you just want to live in both universes, this is going to help you out. If you actually are using a Samsung phone or HTC, they actually have migration tools at this point.
Ah, that makes it easy.
Making them really easy. So all you got to do is back up your phone to your PC, then sync that over, and you'll have all that stuff over.
Why didn't they do that in the first place?
I don't know. Back when I was a kid, they didn't do that.
So, back in my day.
And if I'm not using Samsung or if I'm not using an HTC phone, you have to figure out, like with the Nexus 4, you got to figure out a way to get all that stuff over. What's the most important thing you want from that phone to the other?
Well, I really want to make sure that my contacts get ported over because I don't want to type all of them in, mm-hmm. and my applications. Because I really don't want to have to go through each and every one on my new Samsung phone or Galaxy Nexus and have to port them all over, because that's a real pain.
Even though it looks like it'd be very comfortable to type all your contacts over on that gigantic device, it probably is not the best idea. So let's first go into your applications, because the easiest way to do this, Google's made it really easy with the Play Store online. Once you get an Android device, you log in with your Google account. That'll sync up everything really, really quickly from the beginning. So what I suggest you do is go to play.google.com and find the app you want to install on your actual device. So in my case, I want to install, this is the first thing I install on everything, LastPass. Now, so you'd find LastPass in your applications, you just select it, and Google Play is so much simpler than the iTunes universe with their app sync. You just hit install, and then you choose the device. So since you've logged in with your device before in Google Play, I can send this to my Galaxy S4 or my S3, which is sitting around broken somewhere else. That's what you would do with your system. I'll send this over.
That's so cool.
There. All right.
So I'm assuming as soon as you install it and it downloads, it automatically syncs to your phone as soon as you turn it on?
When you turn your phone on, it might not, if it does not install right away, go into the Google Play app. It'll start installing right then and there. I've seen a little weirdness every now and then, but then you'll see when you've installed 25 different applications, they'll show up, and they'll slowly start showing up on your home screens and your applications, and your application drawer right there.
Now I have a question for you. Why did you install LastPass first?
LastPass, because one, I don't know any of my passwords. And two, when I get all those apps like Twitter, Facebook, Path, whatever you're thinking of, all those applications, you got to input your passwords.
Right.
So what LastPass has in the application, assuming you're paying the $12 premium version, by the way, which
is that $12 a year?
12 bucks a year.
Okay.
It might sound like a lot of money just for something.
Oh my God, passwords. $1 a month. I don't know what I'm going to do.
But the big thing about Android, which is really awesome, is that you can have a LastPass keyboard. So I'll show you how that works. So I'll go into something like Path, because I just logged out of it. Path right here. Now, I have the option from the top here. It'll say input selection. I'll pick LastPass as my keyboard. And then I'll hit LastPass as my keyboard. Now, what I'm able to do is hit this little LastPass key right here.
Okay.
And it'll fill in my password once I say path.com secure. Fill.
And there it is. Oh, that's cool.
So you don't have to do like the old iOS dance of simply going into the application, than copying and pasting and then bring
which
it over.
Which I've been having to do for everything because I use LastPass as well.
That makes it way easier.
So that's so nice.
If you don't use LastPass, I highly suggest getting LastPass.
I really like that you can use different keyboards too, because I use a lot of symbols in mine and I use generic passwords, so it's really important to me that I'm able to do that. And sometimes it's very hard with a regular keyboard on a on an iOS device because you don't know what symbol actually corresponds with what key.
Yeah, I will say the LastPass keyboard, not fantastic for typing. It doesn't have swipe. I really love using swipe.
Yeah.
If you're using iOS, you don't know swipe. It's this great way you can just take your finger and just keep dragging it around to do different keyboards. If you don't like that, you don't have to use it. I love it. But LastPass is a keyboard, not fantastic for that, but passwords Ooh. Are the easiest way to go when it comes to that.
Okay, that's fun. Now, what about contacts?
Okay, contacts is actually also pretty easy. This is all based in a standard format. So what we're going to do is, well, I'll show you how this works. Let's say you have your stuff in iCloud. So I'm in iCloud right here. This is a little demo version of it, so the web pages load. You go into your contacts, and then what you would do is you'd see all your contacts in your regular window, and you would click select all down here in the settings button, and you'll have all your icons show up, and then you know everybody's selected. From there, all you got to do is export your vCard. And what that's going to do is it's going to create this VCF file, that's vCard file format. And what you're going to do with that, once you have that file, you're going to import it into contacts.google.com. Now, once you do that, you'll see it all populate. You go import, select your file. This is pretty basic stuff here. And right now, if you're seeing my screen, you might not see full phone numbers because I'm not going to give out my friends' phone numbers right now, but that's the way that would work. So all of your contacts are right there, and since you've synced your phone with your Google account,
okay,
you got all your contacts.
So as long as I'm synced on Google, I'm good for contacts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's excellent.
There's that, and then if you have your calendars.
I do have a Apple Calendar. So what do I do with that?
Apple Calendars are pretty simple. If you want a dynamic, you should probably hook into Google. But if you're using iCloud calendars like this one here, so this is iCal. You just simply go File, Export. You'll get an ICS, and you can import that into Google Calendar. But be aware that this file is not dynamic. So if you make changes to it, you're not going to have those in your new calendar. So if you want to use both devices at once, like I do, highly suggest making sure you have Google Calendar hooked up with both.
Okay. Yeah, I currently have Google Calendar synced on my Apple device, but if I was using the Apple iCloud, that would be excellent. Yeah. That's perfect.
And then there's always the authentication thing.
Right, yeah. Authentication is a big thing for me.
So you've probably hooked up all your stuff to your phone number, right?
I have, yeah. So I really want to be able to port my phone number from this one to this one. Now, I know that with your cell phone provider, you can actually port your cell phone over to a different provider, but I'm pretty sure it costs money.
Yeah, it does cost money for that, but there's also the option of going to Google Voice, which I really like. I didn't know this was not an option. This is another old man story. When I was a kid using Grand Central at the time, there was not an option to take your phone number and take it to there.
Okay.
Since Google bought Grand Central, turned it into Google Voice, there is now an option that costs you $20, though. You go to Google. If you have a Google account, you just go to voice.google.com, sign up, and you'll actually be able to port your phone number over for $20.
That's nice.
So that means if, let's say, you have your two-factor authentication going on.
Yes.
And it's going to send a text to that phone number. Once you have Google Voice attached to your new phone, you'll be able to receive that text right away.
Perfect.
Now, granted, there are limitations with Google Voice.
What is Google Voice for anybody that doesn't know?
Google Voice is this like phone management system. You get a phone number, mm-hmm. and then you tell it what other phones you want to ring. And it will be able to send out texts that way. You could have all kinds of rules. You could have it connected to 5 different phones. I use my Google Voice number to ring my fake landline at home, my cell phone, my work phone, depending on the different hours.
So when yours rings, does it go off to all phones?
All the phones.
Depending on different hours.
Yes, you can change the
That's
hours.
That's kind of cool.
I make sure when I'm at work, it rings. When I'm not at work, it doesn't ring there.
I see.
I don't want that going off for people answering it.
Right, of course.
But yeah, there are lots of different rules there. And also, you move the texts around. That's really for your authentication aspect.
Yes.
Google Voice, assuming you're in the U.S.
Because
it's still U.S. only. Otherwise, you're going to have to port your number. One day Google will make it available to the world, but not just yet.
Now, there is one other thing that I know is important to a lot of people, but for me, I just upload all of my files back to my computer, whether that's, you know, photos or videos or even music, I just leave on my computer. So I never really leave anything on my iPhone right now. Is there a way to take all of my media from my iPhone and put it onto my Nexus 4?
not a super easy way. There are lots of different, because you have photos, you got music, and you got videos. I'm going to hit each one of these independently. So
okay.
Photos, I suggested this before, definitely use Dropbox and camera upload, because immediately you'll be able to bring things that way. So if you were in the photo stream universe, that kind of thing, that's not going to translate right away. So what you want to use is something that's cross-platform, and you'll have that available that way. Now, granted, you can run into limitations because Dropbox is like 2 gigabytes for free.
Yeah, that's true.
But this, if you want to have all your photos everywhere, this is always a good option.
Okay.
There's also Google Plus. You can have that have its automatic camera upload, and you'll be able to have your photos that way.
Yeah, be careful with that one.
You know, somebody wrote in about this, because last time I talked about Google Plus and their original uploading things, things were public. That's what I read in the news. That's changed now. So everything is private until you change it. So you want to trust, you can trust Google.
Okay, that,
well,
cool.
We're trusting Google for everything else, right? So why not?
Boo, NSA.
When it comes to music, I've also done the same thing you have when it comes to taking my files. And I don't necessarily sync them anymore, though.
Yeah.
It just seems like that's so old-fashioned.
Usually all I do is just leave my MP3s or whatnot on iTunes on my Windows machine at home. And I'll use Google Music, or I'll just drag and drop them onto my iPhone, however I want, whatever artist I feel like listening to that day. But that's a pain because I have to plug my phone into my computer to do that.
Right, because Android devices, you can bother to use like USB drives, just drag and drop. You can find the files, you can play them. That's great and everything. But I know I have a pretty curated iTunes library, or used to.
Yeah, me too.
And I have playlists, and I have all kinds of different tracks. And I found the best bridge to go from an iOS device to an Android device is the Google Music Manager, which is also free, up to, I think, 20,000 songs.
Yeah.
My library is far below 20,000 songs. And what it lets you do is, whatever is going on in your iTunes library, if you have playlists that are curated, those playlists are available on Play Music. You can choose what's actually downloaded to your machine, but you're probably going to be streaming everything when it comes to that. So if you've got data caps, definitely want to check into that. Nexus 4 on T-Mobile, at least in the U.S., you can do unlimited.
Yeah.
If you have unlimited, you don't care.
I love that SIM card. It's awesome.
Google Music Manager free. It works really well. You keep it running in the background. And as your play counts change, as your playlists change, all your Google stuff is constantly updated as well.
Okay.
So you can still have both right there.
That's great.
For videos, I have moved away from keeping videos on my devices just because they take up so much space.
And you have different file types that you have to deal with too, which is a big problem for me.
Well, I guess on Android, obviously, you could just drag and drop them if you wanted to
and then
run them on something like MX Player. So you don't even have to bother to convert to, from DivX to XVID to MP4. You have to do any of that stuff. Or sorry, to H.264. I know they're all MP4s. But you can use something. A long time ago, I used this. It's called Double Twist. It's kind of like iTunes for Android. And what it does is it claims you'll take a file. You connect your device to your computer. You take a file. You drop it into Double Twist. And it'll convert that video file or music file to something that's compatible with your device.
Ah.
So this, you know, back before, like when there was like Palm devices.
Yes.
You would try to convert those.
I once had a Palm device, like, I'm sorry to say.
Well, they were good.
Yeah, but back in the day.
Back in the day. But yeah, Double Twist is for that kind of thing. I asked you guys on Google Plus, though, about how you found Double Twist. Seems like a lot of people that had used it before have run away from it.
Really?
They found it kind of buggy. They don't seem to like it anymore. My personal solution, I keep everything on my Pogo plug, so you just have that. If you don't know what a Pogo plug is, it's like an at-home server. You can have all your video files on that. You run the app on your Android or iOS device.
Cool.
Watch all your files that way. Or you could set up OwnCloud. We did an episode on how to set up OwnCloud.
Yes.
I didn't find it as nice as Pogo Plug, but OwnCloud is open source, and it's more secure basically that way.
Okay.
That's how you can get all your media right there. So you get your videos, your music, your photos, your apps.
Apps, yes.
But there are still some downsides.
Email, if you use Gmail, you can just port it over to your Gmail account on your phone.
Yeah, email's pretty easy. It's like
pretty simple.
That's so easy, I'm not going to even cover that. If you don't know how to set up email, then I'll find a link. Tell you what, if anything I said was far too fast, and you're like, how do you do this? There'll be show notes at twit.tv/KH. Tons of show notes. We'll explain all kinds of ways to move things, how to find these different services. Pretty simple stuff, but it's a lot. I know we're covering a lot of things because we're going from one operating system to another.
Obviously, I can't do this in the time span of like 20 minutes of the show.
No.
But
you can hit pause, though, because the episodes are available for download at twit.tv/KH. There's that. But, of course, there's some downsides, right? There are always downsides when it comes to this.
Well, what are the downsides? Because I can't think of any at the moment.
rebuying applications is something.
That's important.
It's not like you get credit for buying something on iOS. Yeah. It'd be nice if you did, but you don't, right? So if I bought an application that cost $5, so you're going to have to buy it again. You might not like that, but there could be a lot of substitutes that you find for that.
Though a lot of times I have found apps that you purchase on Apple end up being free on Android. So it's kind of a perk of moving over to Android.
Some
in a way.
I've seen WhatsApp was kind of like that, where it was free on iOS and they charge you a subscription
Angry
fee.
Birds was like $1, $2 on iOS. It's free on Android.
So you may have to rebuy stuff. That's one thing. There's also DRM content. If you're living in the Apple universe and you're like, I love iTunes video and I love old iTunes DRM'd music, because iTunes changed to DRM-free music.
Well, what is an easy way to tell if my music is DRM'd?
I would suggest, I mean, there's probably an automated way to do this, and I don't know it offhand, but for your tracks, I would suggest trying to run them in another media player.
Okay.
If something like VLC.
Like VLC.
Yeah. If VLC can actually bother to play this track,
yeah,
probably works.
Cool.
Because iTunes just wants to do a handshake. So if you have a bunch of iTunes content that's DRM'd, you're not going to be able to get access to that unless you're on your iOS device. There's a weird thing with Amazon. Now, Amazon Instant Video.
I
have a bunch of Amazon content.
They sell Kindles, which are on Android. What? Why don't they?
Kindles have it, and iOS have it. But you can't actually run Amazon content on an Android device easily through an app. There's a workaround, though, because, I mean, what else would this show be if we didn't have workarounds?
Right, of course.
we're gonna have a full link to the actual tutorial on how to get the workaround. But what you effectively have to do with your Android device is you have to install Flash,
okay,
which is not supported anymore. Mm-hmm. Then you have to install another application called App Installer. Then you have to make sure your settings are set to allow, unsecure applications or things not from Google Play. Then you run these things. We'll have, again, the link at twit.tv/KH. Which will give you Flash content in a browser, not Chrome. So see, this is a workaround.
Any other thing but Chrome.
Yeah, so you go to Dolphin, that's what I bothered to do, and then you can finally see Flash content on the device, and that's how you see Amazon Video.
Got it. All right.
Less than elegant.
Right, very janky.
it's not the best thing, but if you don't want to go, if you want to still have Amazon content on Android, this unfortunately is the reality until Amazon bothers to make an application for Android. And they're not doing that because they want to sell you Kindles, and that's a whole other thing.
Okay, so we got that, Amazon Videos, the contacts. Wow, I think we covered everything.
Yeah, and the other
the
weird thing is there's a lot more. If you're in iOS in the old days and you don't even know what a notification tray is, there's a lot of things that were on Android first and you'll be very familiar with.
Yep.
The big thing for me when it comes to Android, widgets, not a thing you can do on iOS right now. So if you like having all your data up front, like I like having my texts up, my email, you can have all that stuff open without bothering. It's a whole world of stuff you can do there. I'd definitely suggest watch All About Android on twit.tv/AAA, because if you want to find out what else you can do with this, what other applications you can find, that's a great resource. Jason Howell hosts it with Gina Trapani and Ron Richards.
That's great.
Who's my voice double? So if you hear him...
Oh my gosh, that's so true. I just noticed.
Sorry, it's true. We were on the same show together. It was a nightmare.
Mind blown.
They thought Ron was fighting with himself, but it was just me.
That's awesome.
Arguing with him. So that's pretty much everything you need to know to actually... Now you've got everything started.
Yes, I do. Same. I'm so excited now. I can't wait to go home and port everything over to all the Androids. All of the Androids.
So if you've got your own ideas, you can always go ahead and give us some comments. You can email us comments. People have been doing this. knowhow@twit.tv. Alternatively, if you want your comments seen by everybody, go to Google+. We've got a community. 4,000 of you guys now? I can't believe
that. Wow.
Over 4,000 people are in there sharing their ideas, their thoughts, trying to figure out different projects, suggesting projects. People are like, are you going to do video editing? Are you finally going to do a NAS box? Are you finally going to do this? Yes, we are. Also, I write back there. So go to gplus.to/twitkh because you'll see a nice public conversation. Sometimes we even shoot some other video content where you see me trying some weird stuff and all the fun back behind the scenes stuff when it comes to know-how, because there's a lot of things that happen before we start the show. And there's also Twitter. Definitely check out you can tweet anything you want. Just use the hashtag TwitKH. I have a saved search. I always look for that, and that'll let us find, and Shannon's on there too.
Yep.
If you follow @Snubs or @Ayaz on Twitter, you'll see every now and then we put up a question. We ask you your inputs, your ideas. We're always looking for that. And that's, I think, every way they can get to us.
Yeah, everybody sent in really good emails on Twitter, or messages on Twitter this past week about what they use to port over their Android devices. So very helpful. Thank you so much.
All right, so now you're going to be behind the scenes next week, I think. So
I will.
Why don't you just completely promote yourself right now? How should people find you online?
You can find me. I do Before You Buy here at Twit, twit.tv/BYB. Yes, I produce that show. Did you know that?
How is that producer?
That's why I give
so
you
mean.
Those gadgets.
Oh, that's why.
Oh, yeah, surprise. And I also do Hack5 at HAK5.org.
And ThreatWire.
And ThreatWire.
And okay, she also produces this show. So if you're wondering, like, where does she go during the show? She's usually just behind that camera over there helping us out, putting the
I'm
show
I'm the person
together.
Behind the camera telling Ayaz to go like this.
So now they can know how to make me smile and how to actually take iOS, how to move from iOS to Android. Go do it if you want to.
I will.
You will?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Yes.
Your next course is sitting there.
I know.
Get her in dust.